How is iOSCO driving a global ESG agenda for securities markets? Hi, I'm Justin Pugsley, editor of Global Risk Regulator, and I'd like to welcome you to our podcast series on financial regulation. For more information about GRR, please visit www.globalriskregulator.com. This discussion focuses on environmental, social, and corporate governance, or ESG, which is undoubtedly going to remain one of the most high-profile topics impacting policy and financial regulation for years to come. As such, the International Organization of Securities Commissions, or IOSCO, is playing its part in helping the securities markets get up to speed with ESG. Given this is still a very nascent area, there are a plethora of challenges around issues such as disclosures and data quality to meet if the ESG agenda is to deliver on its promises of a sustainable economy and sustainable finance. In this podcast, I am delighted to welcome Paul Andrews, the Secretary General of IOSCO, to discuss their work on ESG, their plans, some of the challenges securities markets face in this area, how to avoid too much fragmentation between national ESG regimes, and stamping out the practice of greenwashing. Hi, Paul. Can you please describe IOSCO's work around ESG, the organization's role in this area, and what you are seeking to achieve? And also, how do those initiatives dovetail with the FSB-led climate-related financial disclosures, or TCFD, which aims to get firms to disclose their climate risks to investors and lenders?
Well, thanks very much, Justin, for the opportunity to be with you today. And that's a very, very fulsome question, and I would very much like to give you as fulsome an answer as I possibly can. So I think the best place for me to start is with the report that IOSCO published earlier this year in April from our Sustainable Finance Network, which was really our first major attempt to take a look at some of these issues around ESG. And what that report did for us was it outlined three key takeaways, I think, that we identified at IOSCO where we think some improvements need to be made. And none of this will come as any surprise to you, I don't think. So the first area is the fact that we see multiple and diverse sustainability frameworks and standards from various different places around the world. That was the first takeaway. The second one was really the lack of a common definition of what sustainable activities even are. And so that varies greatly as well. And then finally, for us, and particularly important, was the issue around greenwashing and what I would call other investor protection challenges. So these are the findings, I would say, of this report. But they also relate in many ways to concerns that have been raised by other people around the world, particularly around things like reliability and comparability of issuers' disclosures around sustainability that are being made at the global level. And we also see, and I'm sure you're aware of, the proliferation and most times through voluntary frameworks and standards for sustainability reporting. And that creates an incredible challenge to both those that prepare financial statements, but frankly, the users of those corporate reports and those disclosures, including investors. And I can continue on and go and give you much more detail, but that's sort of where we started was from this April report.
Yeah, well, we're going to certainly delve into some of those factors shortly. I mean, in your view, I mean, what specific role do you think securities regulators have to play in driving ESG agenda in capital markets?
Well, I think where we have to start, what I would say is that both from a regulatory point of view, supervisory point of view, and frankly, from a market participant point of view, that these types of climate-related issues and sustainability impacts, I would maybe broaden it out to that, are material to companies, businesses, and frankly, and how they create value. And so I think what we're seeing is a growing number of companies and investors are starting to adapt their businesses and investment strategies. Clearly, at least among some major market participants, are really aligning with going down a path of trying to create a net zero carbon emission impact in the not too distant future. So I guess it's becoming more universally accepted that the failure to integrate ESG, or as we call it, and as you well know, environmental, social, and governance factors into investment decisions really is potentially creating a failure, frankly, to meet fiduciary duties to clients and to beneficiaries more generally. Now that's on the market participant side who have fiduciary duties. And as you know, Mark Carney, from the former head of the Bank of England and now a special envoy to the United Nations, has made it clear, and it's something we've adopted as well in our parlance, about trying to come up with what we call decision useful information on sustainability factors from the corporate sector. And that's one of the roles that I think we can play in this debate, particularly as you look at our core objectives. And IASCO has three core objectives, which are investor protection, maintaining fair, efficient, and transparent markets, and reducing systemic risk. And so as we look around at sustainability issues in general, and particularly climate-related issues, these raise important questions for these core objectives. And I would just say, lastly, to your question here, is that I think we, and we've said this publicly, that IASCO really has a role to play in creating what I think is what I would call a disclosure or a systems architecture for disclosure, that we're uniquely positioned here as an organization, just like we were 20 years ago when we came out and endorsed and set up the basis for the IFRS Foundation for what we know today for financial disclosures. And we think we're in a similar position to do something like that here when it comes to issues around sustainability.
That's very, very interesting. Look, let's dig a bit more into some of the issues you raised maybe earlier on in the discussion. This is one you did mention. So there's been a rush to roll out ESG-related rules and guidance, which is creating a fragmentation of standards across the world. Could you maybe pick out some of the more worrying divergences in standards and sort of kind of negative impacts this is having on the global ESG agenda?
Well, I would say that we share this concern around the proliferation of various different disclosures. And as I mentioned before, I mean, many of these are voluntary, and it gives rise to questions about reliability, comparability, and quality. I mean, that I really can't say it any more, I would say simply, more simply than that. And of course, as I mentioned before, it gives rise to not confusion necessarily, but challenges. That's probably a better way to put it, to both those that use the reports and the preparers of the reports. So for investors in particular, I think where we get really concerned is around the fragmentation about the reporting landscape here, because it leads to what I think is incomplete and inconsistent information that really can't be compared across companies or industries or jurisdictions for that matter. And that really undermines one of the core objectives that I talked about earlier, which is around, asset pricing, which is really what risk management and capital allocation is really all about. Yeah. And if you think about the purpose of markets, and global markets in particular, they're expected to price risks and opportunities. And that's why we need what I would call high quality, complete, comparable and verifiable disclosures. And because capital markets are global in nature, they serve a global investment community, and they operate across borders, we've got to come up with a system that works for everybody. And we've got to avoid fragmentation and find a solution that's scalable and can operate internationally. And that's where I think we can play a role. And I think those are some of the problems that we're seeing in the proliferation of many of these various different standards that are out there today.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Paul. Well, okay. In your view, how bad is the problem of greenwashing? This gets a lot of discussion. And what kind of common standards and labeling do you think are needed to stamp out this activity? So at least it's, you know, these green products are more honest. People can compare them more easily and so on.
Yeah, this is an issue. There's no doubt in my mind that this is an issue. And it's one that's been highlighted by regulators in particular around the world. It's been highlighted by IOSCO. It's been highlighted by market participants. And I would say that part of the problem really goes back to your very first question, which is, given the fact that we have this multiplicity of voluntary frameworks, I mean, there is a real risk of confusion for investors about existing terminology, for example, or the lack of a uniform, I know it's a common word today, but it's true, a uniform taxonomy for what is this a sustainable activity, which I think just aggravates the problem. And I think it leads to market participants, it leads to issuers, you know, cherry picking standards and initiatives that really are best suited for their own purpose. So I would say the other thing that we're worried about here around greenwashing and other investor protection issues is the lack of assurance and how investors can be assured that they're not being misled when it comes to what is considered to be a green practice or a sustainable practice of a company. So if I could just give you the second half of the answer, which is then really around the availability and transparency and the quality of good data. I mean, when you come right down to it, it's really about getting good data and the integrity of the data and the integrity of the reporting framework, which really matters. And then how does that company or that firm fit into that reporting framework? And I think all of that, unless we get it right, and I think IOSCO can help play a role here, I do think you'll see a lack of investor confidence in sustainable and sustainability-related reporting, and I think and in sustainable investing, I would say more generally. But I will tell you on the positive side that IOSCO has a work stream that is looking at this very issue, and that I'm really pleased about. I mean, we're in sort of what I would call a data collection phase. And we have a lot of analysis to do. We still are collecting information about what securities regulators are doing in this area, but it's at the heart of IOSCO's core mission to help protect investors. And I think when we have more to say, I'd love to talk to you again, because I think that
that'd be great.
Greenwashing is one of those crucial things that we have to be extremely mindful of and be on the lookout for.
Yeah, no, indeed. Okay, maybe we can dig a bit deeper into the work you're doing in this area. So I know you're looking at an initiative to harmonize the various ESG standards by identifying commonalities on other regimes and so on that are out there. Can you explain where some of those commonalities lie from what you found so far? And what difference it would make if they can be standardized in some way? And will it be enough, in your view, to make a substantial impact on ESG aims globally?
Well, I would say at the outset, Justin, if done right, I think there's a chance to do something very significant here. Yeah. And I say that because, and I think as you well know, and as your question really implies, and it was only in September. I mean, we're in November now, but it was only in September when this alliance of global leading standard setters came together and made a public announcement about their commitment to work together to come up with a comprehensive corporate global reporting system. And what they're doing, and we've been talking to them, I would say, fairly often and in a significant way, is they're doing the hard work. I mean, they're examining how their frameworks and standards can be applied in a complementary and additive way, so that there's no longer, let's call it competition here, but really more a collaborative process. And I think what that demonstrates, to me at least, is that there really is an ambition for a better and more comparable set of ESG disclosures that is being driven by the market. Yeah. Now, it's incumbent upon us as regulators to engage in this discussion and to safeguard the public interest, so that we ensure that any future disclosure system is accurate and timely and fit for purpose. So that's what's happening on the one side. On the other side, then, you've seen the IFRS Foundation has come out with a consultation paper that is open until the end of the year, that's looking about what role it could play in this area in terms of setting standards for sustainability. And what is nice is that there is a framework already set up under the IFRS Foundation. And so what we've seen is the CEOs of the five standard setting bodies are having conversations with the IFRS Foundation about how they can work together to come up with a system architecture or a system framework that would be useful, would be not universal, but more global. Yep. And you may have also seen that those CEOs wrote to Eric Thedin, who is one of the members of the IOSCO board that's leading up all of this sustainability work for us. And Eric responded to that open letter with an open letter response of his own, which is now in the public domain. And while these initiatives are operating, I would say, in parallel at the moment, we do expect them to come together. And I think that what we're aiming for is playing a catalyst role to try to bring these initiatives together, which would meet, I would say, the market's need for greater transparency of sustainability related risks and where the opportunities are, but also at the same time, bring together a governance structure that we think would then serve the public interest. And if we can help play that role at IOSCO, we will have achieved something, I think, very, very significant.
Well, no, indeed.
We're hopeful.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we can go into that a little bit more in a minute. But before we get there, there's another, I think, really important question that I want to ask you, which is, you know, IOSCO has talked about coming up with a set of ESG disclosure standards that are principle-based yet granular enough to be meaningful. And I think this is probably quite crucial. I mean, how will you find the right balance between coming up with principles that are not too broad-based and therefore potentially ineffective, or too granular, which might undermine global adoption? So how are you going to sort of balance those two divergent factors, as it were?
Well, I think at the outset, it's probably important to point out that I don't think at this stage IOSCO will come up with its own set of ESG disclosure standards. But really what we'll do is work with the other standard setting bodies in the sustainability side, along with the IFRS Foundation. And one of the things that we've seen and we think is coming actually quite soon is a prototype of a climate reporting framework that's actually going to be ready quite soon, which I think does go to the heart of your question, which is really it's not only a tangible demonstration of the commitment that these bodies are making to come up with a system that works, but I think what it will also do is show that there is a way to come up with something that strikes the right balance, the Goldilocks moment, if I could sort of say it that way, between high level enough that's applicable, I would say, globally, but also comprehensive enough and granular enough that delivers a set of metrics and disclosures that would be structured very similarly to the way the IFRS is today. And I think keeping these sort of basic principles in mind are going to be important, because it's all about presentation, it's about recognition, it's about measurement, and it's about disclosure. And we think we can get there. And it's not going to be easy. And I think we have to be mindful of sectors that are different from each other, and there have to be a recognition of that. And so what would be an appropriate climate disclosure standard around sustainability in the automobile industry may be quite different than what it would be in the clothing industry, for example. Yep. So yeah, I think we have to be mindful of that and not be broad-based that everything applies to everybody. So we have to keep all of that in mind as we're coming through these sets of processes and procedures. And I think we're going to really put our mind to it, and working together with these other bodies, I think we'll have something that will be fruitful in the not-too-distant future. And I'm really hopeful here. I really am.
No, well, it sounds very exciting. I think we'll all be looking out for that. It's clearly important work. Okay, now just going to maybe a slightly different aspect of reporting and measurement and so on. Can you give some thoughts about ESG ratings and the methodologies that will drive them? And what are, in your view, the important factors here around creating meaningful ESG ratings that will be useful to global investors and lenders?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, I would say, Justin, because it's also one of the areas that we identified in the April report that I mentioned at the outset, and particularly around the growing role that that ESG ratings are playing in risk management and investment strategies, and frankly, the growing use now of market indices, which are based on these ratings, and we too have set up a work stream in this area, which is led, I'm glad to say, by our colleagues from Japan and our colleagues from ESMA, which are in the early days. You know, I'll be frank with you about that. We're in the early days, and what they're really doing is exploring the potential risks that are arising when it comes to ESG ratings, and there are many, I would say, that we need to be concerned about, but particularly around what the implications are of ESG ratings for companies and investors, and the dispersion, frankly, of ratings and scores that people are coming up with, the lack of transparency around methodologies that are used, and how these companies and data providers, frankly, address conflicts of interest. These are some of the issues that we're looking at. And I think in the first instance, we're gathering some data and some information, and we're talking to data providers, we're talking to credit rating agencies, and it's really, we're on what I would call a fact-finding mission, you know, at the moment. Yeah. And what we'll do is have some roundtables, and we're right now we're targeting 5 different roundtables using public users, issuers, academia, you know, trying to spread the wealth quite wide and large so that we can gather sufficient information. And then what we'll do is we'll put together a consultation paper, and then setting out what we found. And then once we get some responses to that consultation paper, we will issue a final report and give our view of what we think is appropriate when it comes to ratings and data providers, and potentially develop guidance or best practices or recommendations. It depends. I mean, I think it all depends on what we find. But we think this is an extremely important area, and that's why we created a special work stream just for it, because of the impact that it's going to play and is playing already, I would say.
Well, we'll certainly be looking out for that report and the consultation as well, as I'm sure a lot of other people will be. Okay, so I know you've, this next question, I know you've addressed it a little bit already, but maybe we can go into a little bit more detail. Now, as you know, ESG covers a very wide spectrum of activities, just in the sphere of financial reporting and so on. So can you describe how you are working with other organizations such as the IFRS Foundation and the Climate Disclosure Standards Board to formulate a set of principles that will apply seamlessly with these other ESG initiatives? I guess what I'm trying to say is here, how do you avoid kind of stepping on each other's toes, but at the same time come up with something that is usable in the different dimensions that your different work streams are aimed at?
Well, you're right. I mean, it is important that we avoid stepping on each other's toes. And to me, one of the best things that's happened has been the public commitment, frankly, of the five largest sustainability standards setting boards, including SASB in the U.S. and IIRC and TPD and others who themselves have said, you know what, for the greater good, we need to figure out a way forward together. Because if we don't, it's the world that suffers, and that's not a good thing. And so the role that I think and how we can play is, I think we can be a convener. I think we can be an encourager. And I think ultimately, if we can get to this point, I mean, we can be an endorser. And I think that's really the major role that IOSCO can play, given the fact that these private bodies have come together along with, frankly, the IFRS Foundation, who has also expressed its willingness to work together collectively for the collective good. And I would say that we have conversations with these various different bodies. There's a steering group that comes together and meets and discusses the path forward. The IFRS trustees are involved in many respects, and the foundation generally, I would say. And so what we try to do is talk to all the players and get a sense of where they are. And to the extent that we can nudge people in a particular direction, I mean, I think that's a role that is something we can play. And I think that's an important role. And I think the reason for that is to avoid exactly what you said at the very beginning, which is, how do we avoid stepping on each other's toes and coming up with something that actually works, that's not overlapping or underlapping, you know, frankly, for that matter. And that's what we have to be very, very careful about. And so I think in being transparent, talking to each other, I think we're moving very much in the right direction. And I remain very hopeful. I really do. I remain very hopeful that we're going to get to a point where things are going to come together quite nicely.
Well, that's good to hear. Okay, so Paul, can you give maybe a timeline as to when you'll publish your ESG guidelines and the various milestones or deadlines that, you know, that are needed sort of leading up to publication?
Well, I mean, I can, and I'll do my best. Of course, everything depends upon things going smoothly and getting responses, and we don't have another COVID situation, you know. But
indeed, yes. I can,
what our current timeline is, and both for the work stream that I mentioned, that's dealing with issues around greenwashing and the asset management arena and how they use ratings and things of that nature. That is what we call work stream two. And then work stream three is the one that we just talked about a moment ago around ratings and data providers. And frankly, we're expecting to have consultation papers ready for next summer. So mid, I would say mid 2021 or thereabouts, summertime. And our expectation is that we will have final reports done in both of those areas in the fourth quarter of next year. The only caveat I guess I would give you there, Justin, is that, as I mentioned, we're in sort of the data collection phase. We have still some more data to collect. We have some analysis to do, but we think that mid next year for consultation and end next year for final reports is ambitious, but very, very doable. And that's what we're aiming for.
Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, well, I mean, those are all the questions from me. I mean, are there any other points you would like to raise regarding IOSCO's work on ESG factors?
Well, if you don't mind, maybe what I would do is I guess I would maybe raise what I consider to be three key messages from IOSCO. Okay. I think we've talked about the general nature of everything that we're doing, but I would like to maybe stress just three relatively short points, if you don't mind.
Yes, please go ahead.
And the first is really, and I know it's obvious, but it bears repeating that, I mean, capital markets are global in nature, and they serve an investor community that operates cross border. So these issues around sustainability and the challenges around sustainability are also global. And I think they can only be addressed if we work together and they're done in a concerted way. And I think because global markets are expected to price risk appropriately, price opportunity appropriately, what we really need is, and the time has come, I think, for high quality, complete, timely, comparable, and verifiable disclosures when it comes to sustainability.
Yeah.
So that's the first message. The second message is that, in our view, I think it's fair to say that IOSCO is of the opinion that any global solution has to do two things. It has to meet the market's need for greater transparency around the materiality of sustainability-related risks and opportunities. And on the other hand, it has to operate with a governance model that serves the public interest.
Right.
It can't be one or the other. It has to be both.
Yeah.
And then the third message I guess I would just like to leave you with is that we stand ready. We are already engaged, and we will continue to engage with the current initiatives that are underway by the alliance of this of these various standard setting bodies, with the IFRS. And our hope is that together we will come up with the foundation for a system, and what we call an architecture, or a system architecture maybe is a better way to put it, that will give both assurance on the content of these types of disclosures, but also around governance, because these are all important aspects. And if we can accomplish those three things going forward, we will actually have achieved something. And that's where we're spending our time, and that's where we're focused, and that's where I remain hopeful for the future. So I hope that was helpful. I hope I didn't overstate the case, but I wanted to at least give you as fulsome a picture from IOSCO as I possibly could, and I hope this was helpful for you.
No, Paul, I think that was fantastic, and I think a lot of listeners will be very interested in what you've been saying. So, thank you so much for agreeing to participate. And to conclude, I'd like to thank Paul for taking part in Global Risk Regulator's regulatory podcast series. And if you'd like to listen to more financial regulatory podcasts, please visit www.globalriskregulator.com. And you can also subscribe to our podcasts via Acast, Spotify, and Apple iTunes. And finally, I'd like to wish everyone listening to stay safe and well. Thank you.